Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. Welcome to Sunday. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts. I hope you're telling your friends about it. In fact, I know you are. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for all the new people who are signing up. Thank you for all the people who are tuning in incognito, who sneak in under the radar without the newsletter, who access this through Facebook or Twitter or directly from the website. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, I want to welcome you. I do believe that what you're going to hear is helpful and will touch you in a very deep place, and I don't think you're going to find it accidental. Today, we're going to talk about dimensions and the proof of God. Dimensions and the proof of God. And I have a hunch this is going to be one of those podcasts and posts that you send to your friends, because this is the one that's going to be a really interesting conversation. And I'm going to help you see something that you may not have seen, or I'm going to explain something in a way that helps us reframe our understanding about God. In fact, so many people are atheists, agnostic, because they are stuck in a framework of the scientific worldview, empiricism, all good things, but limiting things. And so this is going to actually pull out of you a consideration that you may not have thought of. Okay, so let's just begin. And unless someone points it out to us, we seem to be forgetting the fact that we're traveling on a spinning ball at 70,000 miles per hour. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like you're traveling on a spinning ball going 70,000 miles an hour? Well, you are. But we simply just don't possess the perspective that allows us to perceive this wider reality. And even if we did, this information doesn't really help us in our micro environment. I mean, how much does it help us when you're hungry and you want to get a sandwich to know that you're moving at 70,000 miles an hour? Nonetheless, the larger dimension exists. Now, despite bigger dimensions, most people we know live within two or three or four dimensions, and that's it. That's all most people live their life. And we fail to realize that our suffering and the suffering that's in the world, it comes from ignorance of greater dimensions. So when we live in a limited way, we suffer. And that's just the reality of it. Gazing at the stars on a summer night, holding a newborn in your hand, sitting quietly by a graveside, peering over, a cliff, sitting at the beach and watching the waves come in. All of these are the kinds of moments where we intuit something more. Maybe it was in a song, a poem, the words of a loved one, or just a look, the eyes of someone. There's something more. You might call something coincidence, but there's something we get on a very deep level. We know that the storylines that are given to us by our culture, by our religions, our tribal teachers, those storylines are not really big enough to answer the questions that resonate deep within our soul. And so on those starry nights looking up, we feel small and insignificant. And to be that small and that insignificant begs the question, right? So how are we to know if another dimension actually exists? I mean, we're taught throughout school and in our science classes that all that exists are the things that you can see, taste, touch, measure, and hold. That's empiricism. Where's our proof that God exists or a dimension of spirituality even exists? How do we know it's not just something we're making up? It's not a bunch of chemicals firing in our brain that we're imagining. You know? Well, let me walk you through why I'm convinced, and I believe you'll be convinced, that a spiritual dimension exists. You see, a dot on a page has one dimension, length. And in the idea of a dot, it really doesn't seem like there's length or anything to it. It's just a dot, but go with me on this. It only represents one dimension, length. And a line is certainly the one dimension of length, but it's an incorporation of the dot. You see, the dot is found within the line, and they're both found within length, the dimension of length, I should say. So if we draw a box, then I have now a two-dimensional object because I have added height to length. Right? And while this expands on length by, or the line, you know, I add another line. Now I have two dimensions. I'm going in two directions. But I haven't lost the dot and I haven't lost the line. They're there. They're there in their full capacity without being losing any of it. But now together they've added to add something new. We have two dimensions. And if we construct a cube or a sphere, we enter three dimensions because we've gained depth. So now we have length and height and depth. And the box, the cube, right? The circle, the sphere, they all include every previous dimension without losing any of those other dimensions. Each higher dimension possesses and expands all the previous dimensions. Now, if you go back to my series on spiral dynamics, you're going to see a theme repeating itself here. But now we're simply focusing on science. We're looking at science, and we're looking beyond science. I mean, that is the nature of this podcast and post, is to see beyond everything. So let's see beyond here, too. So if the cube or the sphere move, now we've entered the dimension of time, right? Whether it's spinning or sliding or bouncing. Movement is actually immeasurable or imperceivable without this other dimension we'd call time. And we can measure time, but time is actually not as fixed as we think. It certainly changes in our perception of it. When we're having a great time, it goes by fast. When we're bored out of our mind, it takes forever. We are often unconscious and indifferent to the dimensions. Right? Just like the spinning world at 70,000 miles an hour, we're unconscious of that. We're indifferent to it because it doesn't really impact us. We lose track of time, or we ignore it altogether and until at least some point we're forced to deal with it. Hey, it's time to come home, or you're going to be late, or it's time for this, it's time for that. You see, time is the unflinching but relative fourth dimension. As you get closer to a black hole, time actually changes. See, our modern scientific worldview has given us an empirical definition of ultimate reality. I mean, it's taught us that if you want to talk about reality, all that is real is that which is measurable, palpable, and tasteable. Something I can put on a scale. A rock is real, an idea is not, unless you break it down into its core biological chemicals crossing over the synapse, then it's not real. See? Empiricism assumes that other dimensions are not provable. And it's funny because it's saying, well, they're not provable because they're not in our dimension. A miracle cannot be true. But a miracle, by its very definition, says that it doesn't fit within this dimension. So even the fourth dimension of time cannot answer our childhood questions on a starry night. We start thinking about how many millions of years these light beams have been coming to us and how many of the stars that we think are there now actually don't exist anymore because their light has gone from them. We yearn for more. It's like we intuit something beyond all these things. But we feel weird about exploring what might be there. We feel like we'll be the laughing stock of our schools or our peers or our friends who just don't believe in such things. You see, the next dimension beyond the fourth dimension of time is ultimate reality. You see, it's non-physical in nature. And in some ways, time is already getting us there. When you introduce time, you're moving physicality through time, but time itself is non-physical in nature. And like the sphere or the cube, as they break out of the two-dimensional square or circle, the next dimension, the spiritual, the non-physical dimension, it breaks out by reframing everything we thought we knew. And since it breaks free from physicality, many mistakenly conclude because of empiricism that it doesn't exist. But it does exist. It just doesn't exist within physicality. It can't. A cube cannot exist in two dimensions. A sphere cannot exist in two dimensions. The square cannot exist in one dimension. And so spirituality cannot exist in the fourth dimension. It has to go beyond. Now, you might just be surprised to discover that non-physical or spiritual reality is more common than you thought. You see, most people just say, I'm not a spiritual person because they don't want to subscribe to a religion. And who can blame them? Most religions are basically playing Red Rover with the world and the city, saying, hey, come on over. Our cinnamon roll recipe is better than everybody else's. And if you believe like we do, we'll love you. If you don't, we're going to hate you. And God loves you, but only if you believe like we do. And it's no wonder that people resist such power plays. They don't want to get sucked into a system that's going to control them and govern them that way. It's not rebellion. It's not just love of sin. It's your love of freedom that keeps you out. I get that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to prove the existence of spiritual reality. And I'm going to use mathematics because it's way more comforting to our scientific minds than if I use religion. You see, mathematics is infinite and immeasurable. Oh yeah, you can measure mathematics as far as it goes, but I promise you there are numbers that we don't have names for because they're so high. No one's ever counted to the end of the numbers. There is no highest number. And somehow we just are okay with that. But if somebody says God is infinite in its power, in his might, in his knowledge, we're like, what is that? I don't get that. I don't understand that. Numbers are infinite in their scope. Oh, I get that. Yeah, that makes sense. You see, mathematics is a safe zone to enter the non-physical or spiritual reality. Mathematics is in this reality. You see, it's entirely beyond our grasp. Nobody completely understands everything there is to know about mathematics. And yet, even a two-year-old can tell you the difference between one cookie and two cookies. So every single human being gets some aspect of it, but not anyone understands all of it. And this is how you know mathematics is truth, because it functions in the exact same sphere, the same dimension as truth. We all get a little, but nobody has it all. In mathematics is used to create our empirical or physically measurable universe. We use mathematics to measure things. How many inches is that? How heavy is it? What is its circumference? But mathematics itself is not empirically measurable. You cannot put mathematics on a scale. You can't measure the circumference of the number 3 or the weight of the number 7. We have to use figures, paradigms, numerals to access what's behind the mathematics. So we build this thing called the number 7, and we write this shape on paper called the number 7 to represent what we actually know as sevenness. Because mathematics is not empirically measurable. But we need it in order to have any kind of empiricism. You see, the laws of mathematics are universally binding. 4 + 4 = 8, whether you're here or China or the moon. And if you refuse to have 4 + 4 = 8, then everything you build will be off. Your calculations for a soup or launching a space shuttle will be flawed. The laws are universally binding on all people. And yet, the more we understand it, the more advanced we become as human beings. So no one escapes mathematics, yet no one can hold it in their hand either. This is the spiritual dimension. That's what it's like. So who's going to stand up now as a good scientist and deny the existence of mathematics on the basis that it is not empirically measurable? There's no proof that such a thing exists. So you see, it's accessible, it's used, it's touched, it's enjoyed by everyone, and yet no one can possess it for themselves. It's not created by man. Humanity didn't make mathematics. It was discovered by humanity. It was revealed to humanity. This is a dimension of another kind. It's not physical. It's non-physical, and that's why I call it the spiritual dimension. A dimension that expands our physical dimensions without diminishing in them. And just like the cube has within it the square and the line and the dot, so this does too. This is the spiritual dimension. So a new definition opens up the portal to a new dimension. And so now you're looking at mathematics and you're saying, well, that actually, I see the dimension now. And how did that happen? I reframed it for you. I used mathematics as the tool to give you a new definition for the spirituality. This is my life work. This is what I love to do. This is why I do these podcasts week after week. So who then now is going to stand up and deny the existence of God? If mathematics exists, then a spiritual dimension must also exist. If mathematics exists, then a dimension such that could contain the ideas that we know of God must also exist. In fact, the scientific worldview is not even possible without the spiritual dimension. You can't have measurement without mathematics. And you can't have mathematics without this spiritual dimension. The late Greg Bahnsen would say, God is the precondition for all intelligibility. In other words, if God doesn't exist, then nothing exists. There's no way to make any sense out of anything, because without that dimension, without that possibility of God, there cannot be anything on which we base reality. In other words, without the non-physical or the spiritual dimension, there's no such thing as mathematics. There's no such thing as logic. There's no story. There's no idea. There's no dream. There's no measurement. All of those things cannot be put on a scale or in a box or in a tube or boiled. And yet we all live our life knowing 100% that they exist. You argue using logic, but if you argue using logic and you argue against the existence of God, then you are presupposing God to argue against him. You see, the dot exists because of the line and the square and the cube beyond it, even if the dot doesn't perceive any of those dimensions. And so God is always presupposed in everything. And so without any mention of God or the spiritual dimension, we bring God into every conversation. We bring the spiritual dimension into everything. This is my life work. I love pointing it out everywhere we go. This is spiritual. This is God coming to us in and as our life, shining through this thing. So God must exist in order for us to reject the idea of God. Our lack of perception of God does not indicate non-existence. The fact that you don't perceive that you're spinning around on a globe going 70,000 miles an hour doesn't mean that you're not. You see, I'm still miles away from describing the God of any particular religion. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about Yahweh in Judaism or Allah in Islam or Buddha or any of the gods in Hinduism. And yet you know right now that if we were to go into any subject of religion, that all of this would come together and make sense in a new way, wouldn't it? All I'm doing today is proving the framework that is required for a rational faith in God to exist. You do not have to be an irrational person to have faith. If a rational faith in God can exist because of the presence of a non-physical dimension, then it behooves us to learn what we can of this dimension. And like I said earlier, our suffering comes from our lack of engagement in this dimension. And so perhaps for you, this is the moment of conception for your life of faith. For your sake, I really hope it is.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.